All right, if you wish to follow along, I invite you to turn to Romans chapter 14. Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, chapter 14. Now, before I read any particular verse, let me just give a brief overview. In this chapter and on into chapter 15, the apostle Paul instructs we believers concerning our charitable conduct one toward another,
yes,
concerning foods and drinks and days. Now, I don't think that's all that's included, but that's all that Paul dealt with
right
here in the passage. There are other things as well, as we will see from Scripture. But he's talking about our charitable conduct, because although all of God's people, having been regenerated by the Spirit of God and converted by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, although we all have faith, we're not all strong in the faith.
That's true.
Some are weak in the faith. And we don't all understand everything the same way.
That's true.
Now, this is not talking about some heretic out here that believes some weird things. This is talking about within the family of God.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And why? My question to begin here, and why is this charitable conduct in such things so vital?
Yeah.
Well, here's my text, Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. It is the beginning of Paul's summary of this. For, that's a summary, right? He's getting ready to summarize. For, here's why I tell you these things.
Yeah.
For, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you see that?
Amen.
Paul saying the reason that meats and drinks, days, what you wear, where you live per se, the house you live in, the place you are, the place you work, here's why these things are not vital things, because the kingdom of God is not those things.
Exactly.
The kingdom of God is. And there are some who say, well, he doesn't say the kingdom of God is. And I say, don't be silly.
Yeah.
He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but, and you can say,
yeah,
it is this.
Yes, exactly.
It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The title of my message is this: the kingdom of God is.
Amen.
Now, I know that's not proper English, but if you put the point of ellipsis at the end, then that makes it proper English.
That's right.
The kingdom of God is. Now, in beginning, let me say this. There are at least, I'm not saying this is exhaustive, but there are at least three parts to any kingdom. And all three of these parts are seen here in Romans 14 and the first part of chapter 15. Here's the three parts. In any kingdom, there is at least this. There is the king.
Amen.
Amen.
There is the king. We see that in chapter 14, verse 10. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
That makes him king, does it not?
Yes, sir.
He's on the seat of judgment. Do you see it? Also, verse 18, look at what it says. For he that in these things serveth Christ. You see it?
Yes.
Not just serveth God. But in serving Christ, you are serving God.
Amen.
But for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved to men. In any kingdom, there's always the king. Look at chapter 15, verse 12. And again, Isaiah saith, or that is Isaiah, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles.
Amen.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
David Wright, let's me know he's the king of this kingdom. He's the king of this kingdom. Another thing that's another part to any kingdom is this. There is the king's subjects. There is the king's subjects.
Right.
We see the subjects mentioned in chapter 14 and verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's what? Servant.
That's right.
God's people are his servants.
Yes, sir.
You see it? There's his subjects. We are his servants. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. And that's what it's all about.
Yes, sir.
And that seems so simple, but that's so hard for us to live by.
Exactly right.
Because we're so prone to judge one another.
Yeah.
Aren't we? And I'm not saying that proudly. I say that with shamefacedness. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
Amen.
Aren't you glad God makes you stand?
Yes, sir.
That's right. I recall that one man that preached during my grandmother's funeral and said, God is a gentleman. He doesn't make anybody do anything. And then look at what it says right here.
Exactly.
It's a denial of the reality of who God is and what God does.
Amen.
And yet this world puts up with that kind of thing as though it's gospel preaching.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So there is the king, and there is the king's subjects. Look at verse 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ. You see it? Serveth Christ. So there is the king, and there is the king's subjects. But also, thirdly, there is the king's realm. There is the king's realm. And where is the king's realm according to chapter 14 and verse 15? Where does he reign?
Exactly.
He reigns in the heart and in the mind and in the soul.
Yes, sir.
I know he reigns in the heart because it says him that is weak in the faith.
Yeah.
Verse 2, for one believeth.
Yeah.
Do you see it? Where is faith and believing? Where is its, not its source, but its seat? Where does it sit?
Yeah.
In the heart. Man believeth with the heart under righteousness. Do you see that? There's the realm of this king's kingdom. And he reigns in the hearts of his subjects. We also see that he reigns in the mind. Chapter 14, verse 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded where? In his own mind. Do you see that? There's another aspect of the realm of the king's kingdom within the king's subjects.
Yeah.
It's in his mind, or in their mind. Chapter 15, verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded.
You see that?
Like-minded. It's amazing how the scripture doesn't put everything concerning salvation and service to Christ and following him in one aspect of our being, does it?
That's right.
They have the heart. You have the mind, right?
Yes, sir.
Be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. He goes on, verse 6, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You also see that the soul is included here and it's alluded to. And I see that in chapter 14 and verse 8. Look at it. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord.
Amen.
Whether we die, let me read it again. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Now, what is the one thing that's with us, no matter whether it's life or death?
Exactly.
Your soul. Amen. Your immaterial being.
Yeah.
You see, it's alluded to here, though not directly referenced here. The one thing we've always had since God created us is our soul and our spirit, our inner person.
Yeah.
That inner, that non-material being. So in every kingdom, there are at least these three parts. The king, the king's subjects, and the king's realm. Now then, having stated that, Paul's statement makes two things infallibly clear. Two infallible facts concerning the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
What the kingdom of God is not.
Yep.
Doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's some deep stuff, isn't it? That's some deep doctrine. For the kingdom of God is not. What is it not? It's not meat and drink.
Amen.
And anybody tries to tell you it is, you know they're lying on God.
Exactly.
For the kingdom of God is not.
Amen.
Meat and drink. Now, I believe there's more to what Paul is declaring here. There's more that it's not, but this is simply what he's dealing with here.
Yep.
But there's also one other infallible fact given here, what the kingdom of God is.
Amen.
All right?
That's right.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what is it? It is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And again, I say, I don't believe this is an exhaustive list, but it is the beginnings, the most important things, the things where we must always begin. So these two statements are infallible facts, rather, One, the kingdom of God is not certain things.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
And the kingdom of God is certain other things. Amen. Now, let's read the king's words about this. Christ is the king.
Yes,
turn to Matthew chapter 6 and we'll read the king's words about this. This is what is traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount. And you know why that's called that? Because he was up on a mountain whenever he preached it.
Yes, exactly.
And there's nothing wrong with that because it was the Sermon on the Mount. But in Matthew, the mount didn't make the difference.
No.
The man and the message is what made the difference.
Amen.
But look at what he says here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters.
That's what it says.
What are we talking about? You're talking about a king there. Someone in charge of you, right?
That's right.
For no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen.
Therefore, so he's going to give us some explanation, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this what, similar to what Paul's talking about?
Isn't it? That's right.
Take no thought what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? You see that? Look at it. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
Amen.
You see it? Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little... Now, what's the first key to it? O ye of little faith.
Amen.
Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that what ye have need of all these things. Here it is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's exactly what Paul's talking about in Romans 14,
yes,
15.
Yeah, right.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Amen.
Now we know that peace is there as well.
Mm-hmm.
We know that joy in the Holy Ghost is there as well. But
yes,
Christ is here dealing with the first essential element. Because apart from that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Apart from that, there will never be any peace.
That's right.
And there will never be any joy in the Holy
Amen.
Ghost.
Amen. That's right.
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Look, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's not that they're of no meaning whatsoever.
No.
Because Paul tells us how to conduct ourselves concerning meat and drink and certain days or not certain days or maybe what you wear and what you don't wear.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, that's all back then. Let me just give you a brief example. There are people who would not listen to a man preach, no matter what he preaches, unless he had a suit, coat on, and a tie. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah.
They wouldn't. They wouldn't think that's a true preacher. That's not a true pastor if he don't have on a suit, coat, and a tie.
You're right.
And folks, let me tell you something. There are even people who won't preach unless they got a suit, coat on.
Yeah.
I am not criticizing them.
No. That's just the way
I'm not criticizing them. But there are other places where today you don't wear a suit coat. You don't wear a tie. It's all casual.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to criticize them either.
Exactly.
Not if that was the problem. The problem with most people is their doctrine about who man is.
Amen.
And their doctrine about who God is.
Yes,
it ain't what they're eating. It ain't what they're drinking. It ain't what they're putting on. It's about what they're saying about God and his truth.
Amen.
About God and his gospel.
Yeah.
About God and his Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, let me sum it up this way. Make ye friends of the mammon of unrighteousness.
That's right.
You need stuff to eat in this world.
Yes, sir.
You need stuff to drink in this world.
Yeah.
You need clothes to wear. You need a roof over your head. You need a place, don't you? We need a lot of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
All of that will fall into its proper place.
Exactly.
That doesn't mean you're going to have everything you want.
No.
But God will give his people everything they need.
Exactly.
And if you don't got it, then you don't need it.
And
I'll tell you this, I just found this out yesterday. If he decides he don't want you to have something, he'll make you go out and buy another one.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He'll let it fall all apart, so you got to spend money making payments on a whole new one.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Why? I wasn't giving no thought to that, Mac. Well, but here's the point. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All this other, it'll fall into place.
Exactly.
It'll fall into place. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, let me give you three things. Three things here. The kingdom of God, having seen this statement, four, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Here's three things. I'll deal mainly with the third one. But I want to mention the other two. First of all, the kingdom of God is a present reality.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is not.
Yeah.
Because the kingdom of God is, not exactly. Shall be.
Exactly.
And there are those who every time they talk about the kingdom of God, they always put it in some future tense.
You're right.
Or at least they say that's the kingdom of Christ. This is talking about the kingdom of God. It's talking about salvation. The kingdom of Christ is messianic and it's going to last for 1,000 years. That is not the truth of Scripture. The Apostle Paul said this, we have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated, not just into the kingdom of God, but into the kingdom of his dear Son. He is now King of the kingdom. The King exists now.
Yes, sir.
And has forever existed.
Yeah, that's right.
The King's subjects exist now, and in the mind of purpose of God, they've always existed. They were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and the King's realm's always been in the purpose of God, because it's the heart and the mind and the soul of God's people that God deals with in Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is a present reality.
Amen.
Some say that it talks of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of his dear Son. They're all the same kingdom.
Yes, sir.
It may be emphasizing different aspects of that kingdom, but it's still all the same kingdom.
Amen.
And as I'll mention here in a moment, just like a glorious diamond, if you had a really nice, expensive diamond, and you look at that, it's one diamond, Joe, but it has many facets.
Yes, sir.
And you look at that diamond in different ways, it looks different at different angles, does it not?
Exactly.
But it's still all the same thing. Now, I know that's an inadequate overall thing, but that's one of the best I've come up with. The kingdom of God is a present reality. And no matter what you say or what you teach, there are those who, no matter what you say, what you teach, they will throw a moniker over you when they hear you say a certain thing. Oh, I believe this. Well, that makes you, then you believe that too. No. We endeavor to believe, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Not follow any system devised by men, no matter how sound it may look. Because as time goes on and revelation comes to the heart and mind, the revelation's already here in these pages, the revelation comes to the heart and mind, any truthful, honest believer will have to say, exactly what I believed 20 years ago is not exactly what I believe today about this or that certain thing. I mean, the scripture is profitable for what? Doctrine.
Yeah.
But also reproof. Why does it have to be profitable for reproof? Because we're so wrong about things.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it.
And the scripture is the guide.
Yeah.
The scripture is the guide. So, the kingdom of God is a present reality, but that's not even my message. Secondly, the kingdom of God is sourced and sustained by God.
Yeah.
Because it is, after all, the kingdom of God.
Amen.
It's not a kingdom for God. Though that certainly would be true in its overall sense, but it is also called, Joe, one of the titles, it's the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So that lets me know that it is sourced and sustained by God himself. God is not depending upon men to populate his kingdom.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
And God is not dependent upon men to let him into their heart or into their mind or into their soul.
Amen.
As one preacher said, he knocks. He knocks and he forces his way in.
Yeah.
And you willingly, lovingly receive him when he forces his way in. And the first time that you realize that he's forced his way in, he's already seated on the throne of your heart, mind, and soul.
That's right.
This is what it means to be conquered by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. According to the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, knocking down these strongholds and things that just rebel against God in our mind and in our thoughts. So the kingdom of God is sourced and sustained by God because it is the kingdom of God. But now here's my message. Here's my message. The kingdom of God is.
Yes.
Now he mentions some things that it's not.
That's right.
Not meat. It's not drink.
Oh, yeah.
It's not respect of a certain day. It's not the kind of clothes you wear.
Exactly.
But the kingdom of God is this. It's what? Righteousness.
Yes.
And peace. And joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, not joy of the Holy Ghost. It's joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to deal with this morning is righteousness. Mm-hmm. Because that's foremost and key.
Yes, sir.
Because I'm here to declare on the testimony of the authority of God's Word that you will know no peace and you will know no joy in the Holy Ghost until you first know about this righteousness.
Amen.
That's the order.
That's what it says.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Remember the King's words. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what's the one thing he mentions in relation to the kingdom of God? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
That's
you see
exactly
it?
Right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's one reason why. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now granted, Paul does not say his righteousness. But the king did. So I'm not adding to what Paul said. I'm looking at the preponderant testimony of Scripture.
Exactly.
And here's why I know it is God's righteousness. I know that it's God's righteousness because by nature and action, you and I have none.
Amen. That's it.
That's why.
That's exactly right.
This ain't about our righteousness. It's about his righteousness. There is none righteous.
Amen.
But how many does that really include?
Yeah.
No, not one.
Amen.
And even right now today, standing before you preaching as best God has enabled me, even preaching the gospel of Christ, I am not righteous because I'm doing that.
Amen.
And that gains me no merit before God.
Exactly.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah.
All this other stuff will fall into place.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I will say this based upon the authority of what Paul says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then only will you experience peace.
Yes. That's right.
And then only will you find that joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because even as believers, when we don't, when we're looking at another righteousness, or when we're looking at another thing, our peace, our experience of the peace will begin to fade.
Yeah, that's right.
Your joy will begin to dwindle. And why is that? Because at that moment, you and I are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Oh, but look at it. I want to give you six things about God's righteousness, about true righteousness, okay? About a God righteousness, about a divine righteousness of God. It is of God that we, I'm talking about the king's subjects now, I'm talking about the elect, I'm talking about believers. It is of God that we have a few things when it comes to righteousness. Think about it, there's no particular order here. I'm not trying to put it in order of importance or anything like that. I'm just going to give you six things about righteousness. First of all, we've been given a righteous heart.
Yes, sir.
We've been given a righteous heart. Go back and look at Luke chapter 8, verse 15 sometime. There are those upon whom the good word of God is sown.
That's right.
That's the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that good seed falls on, it doesn't make.
That's That's right.
But it falls on, and it must fall on to produce fruit.
Yeah.
A lasting fruit. It falls on what? Christ called it good ground.
Amen.
But then he explained what that good ground was.
He did.
He calls it a good and honest heart.
Amen.
And there's not a one of us that could say we made our own heart that way.
Exactly.
Who can say the prophet said, I've made my own heart clean?
That's right.
I think maybe it's the psalmist that said, nobody can.
Amen.
Nobody can. We're given a righteous heart. Now, when I give you these things, think of it again. Think of that illustration of a diamond. It's all one righteousness.
Yes, sir.
But there are many facets to it.
Amen.
I'm afraid in religion today, even amongst God's people, when we think of righteousness, what do we usually think of? Now, be honest, you think of imputed righteousness.
Yeah.
And there's even arguments now about it. Amidst God's people, sad to say, whether this is imputed righteousness or whether you're made righteous. Well, if the Bible says you're imputed righteousness, it means you've been what? Imputed righteousness. And if it says you've been made righteous, then that means what? Then you've been made righteous. And if those two words mean different things, then they mean different things. But it's all still the same righteousness.
Amen.
It's all still the same righteousness. It's all sourced and sustained by God because He is the King of this kingdom.
Yes, sir.
So we've been given a righteous heart. Here's another thing we've been given. We've been given a righteous soul.
Yes, sir.
Now there's something to ponder.
Amen.
It says of Lot. Now I want you to think about Lot.
That's good.
And all you know about Lot. And it said that man, that righteous man, it calls him a righteous man. Well, look at his deeds. You won't see that in all of his deeds, will you?
For sure, yeah.
You won't see that in all of his deeds. So that couldn't have been the righteousness we're talking about, is it? But that righteous man, in seeing and hearing all these things, did what? Vexed his what?
Yeah.
His righteous soul.
Amen. That's what it
said. I can't explain that. It's not up to me to explain it. God said he had a righteous soul. Why? He was one of God's people.
Amen.
He was a believer. Yeah. God gave him a righteous soul. I want to call it a what? A righteous soul.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's it.
Is it a different soul? Is it this? I don't know. But it's a righteous soul. Why? Because God said so.
Amen. That's it.
Because God said so.
Yeah.
And sometimes the scripture doesn't go into great detail about certain subjects.
Certain.
You hear what it says about it. You believe what it says about it.
Yes.
And let it lay where it's at.
Exactly.
Now, if it goes into more detail in another place about a subject, then for by all means, bow to God's word in it. But if it doesn't give you much information about any particular subject, but it does give you some information, then you can bank on what it says about that.
Amen. That's right.
And though I look at Lot's life, and I can't say, well, he had a righteous life. I know he's still called a righteous man who had a righteous soul because God said so.
Amen.
Not only that, we've been given a righteous faith.
Yes.
I want you to read this one. It's in the same epistle, chapter 4. We've been given a righteous faith. Remember, faith is the gift of God.
Amen.
Faith is not some human ability that God puts sprinkles his blessing on with a little holy water.
You're right.
Faith is the gift of God. As a matter of fact, faith is said to be the fruit of God himself, the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
And the reason it's called the fruit of the Spirit is because He is the one that is giving these things to God's people in time.
Amen.
Faith is righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Look at it, chapter 4 of Romans, and let's read 3 verses. Verse 9, cometh then this blessedness. What blessedness? God will not impute sin to certain people.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
And He's also imputed righteousness to certain people.
Amen.
Right? Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. There you see imputation,
yes.
Right? And righteousness there. And faith, right?
Yes, sir.
That faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. But now look what else he says. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?
There you go.
Not in circumcision. When was it said this of Abraham? Before he was circumcised.
That's exactly right.
Before he was circumcised. Look, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. Now look at verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith
Amen.
Which he had. Do you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Beloved, faith is righteousness.
Amen.
It's a right thing.
Yes, sir.
It's a good thing. It's an honest thing. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God.
Amen.
And faith certainly one of those, is it not?
Yes, sir.
A seal, of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Why is righteousness imputed to a man? Because he has a righteous faith.
Yeah. Amen.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
Imputation of the righteousness comes after the faith.
Yeah.
Isn't that what it says? That righteousness might be imputed unto him.
That's what
right?
It is. Yes, sir.
Why is right? This is not make-believe. God's not acting like there's a righteousness there. There is a righteousness there because he put it there in faith.
Yeah. Amen.
In the quality, the character,
yes,
the glory, the fruit of God, faith.
Amen.
Truly, faith is perfect. We sing songs about imperfect faith. It's not really true.
Yeah.
Our believing may be imperfect.
Exactly.
We could say it that way to an extent.
Yeah.
Our believing may be imperfect, but faith is a fruit of God. It's the gift of God. It's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
It's righteousness.
Amen.
It's righteousness. We've been given a righteous faith. Here's number four. We're enabled to put on a new man. Turn to Ephesians 4. I want to read that one to you as well. Ephesians chapter 4. We're enabled to put on a new man. And let's listen to what God says about that new man. Now about the new man, not about me personally.
Yeah, you go.
Not about Walter Pendleton, born of Roy Jr. and Linda Pendleton.
Yeah.
Not about Walter, the son of Adam.
Yeah.
Okay? Not about Walter in his Adamic nature. And I can say that because of this. Look, Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Do you see the order and all that?
Yeah.
The initial problem is what? Our heart.
Yes, sir.
Now, that's what God fixes. No, I don't say fixes. That's what God gives us is a new one.
Yeah.
That's how it begins,
yeah,
is a new heart to do what? To believe the truth of God.
Amen.
Now look, who being past feeling, now he's still talking about these Gentiles, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard him, that's what Joe was talking about, and been taught by him, that's what Joe was talking about, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. And that's all it will ever be.
Yeah.
God is not working on that to make it better.
Exactly.
So if you're trying to, just stop, because God ain't going to do it. You certainly ain't going to get it done.
Right. Yeah.
Acknowledge it for what it is.
Yes.
Mourn over its corruption and its wickedness and deaden it to the extent that God enables you to.
Exactly.
But realize it's right there with you.
Yes, it is. That's exactly right.
Which is corrupt according to deceitful, and be renewed in the spirit of your, what now? Mind. Look. And that ye put on the new man,
yes,
which after God,
yes,
is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
The new man, the new nature, as some people say.
Yes,
the scripture calls it a new man.
What is it?
Peter calls it the divine, partakers of the divine nature. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's like him who created him.
James said too, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And this new man is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
Mm. Wherefore, put away lying.
Amen.
You see it? And it goes through there. Wherefore, put away lying. So we're enabled to put on a new man. And that man is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Amen.
It's real righteousness. It's real holiness.
Yes, it is. That's it.
It says put him on.
Yeah.
Just put him on.
Yeah, that's right.
Endeavor to wear him like a suit.
There you
go. You see it? Now look at it. Here's another one. Here's number five. Christ is made unto us righteousness.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read that one as well. You know this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, that's God, But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and what? Righteousness. You see it? Now, Mason, that's the same righteousness as the new man's created in.
Amen.
And that's the same righteousness of faith.
Yes, sir.
Because we're talking about God created that new man after his image. Mm-hmm. Correct? That's what the book says. This faith is the gift of God and a fruit of God. It's his righteousness, righteous as God. It's the same righteousness, Joe.
That's right.
But here's many different aspects. Here's that great diamond before you. And you turn it and look at this facet. And, oh, it's so glorious. And you turn it and look at that facet. And Joe, it's just so glorious. But it's still all the same diamond. Still all the same righteousness. But let me tell you, it's a God righteousness.
Amen.
And he has made that. I don't even know that we experience that. That's just what he's made unto us.
Yes, sir.
You know? That's what we see that to some degree, but not to the degree that he is that to us.
Yeah.
Now you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We see that to some degree, but not to the degree that he is those things to us.
Yeah.
He has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So what would you say to that? That according as it is written, you want to glory? You want to brag about something?
Yeah.
Brag on the Lord.
Amen.
That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Exactly.
That was number 5. Let's look at number 6. We are made the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
Now, I've heard people argue, well, that means imputation. No, it doesn't. He just said, we are imputed the righteousness of God in Christ. Had he meant, we're imputed the righteousness of God in Christ.
So is it.
Just as he was made sin, then in a similar yet different, because let's just turn to it and read. And look at what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. How? In him.
Amen.
In him.
Yes, sir.
Somebody says, explain that. Don't have to.
Exactly.
Some try to explain it away by running the imputation, but that's not what he's talking about.
No.
You see, God has made us the righteousness of himself. Where? In the Son.
In
the Son.
That's it.
Now, I could just go on and say, et cetera, et cetera. Any righteousness that's of value, God is its source and sustainer because
Amen.
It's his kingdom.
Amen.
It's seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the first. And his righteousness, there's the first thing.
Yeah.
If you try to start somewhere else, you're never going to get to the end properly. And I don't mean the end of time. I'm talking about in your life and in your experience. You try to look to anything else other than seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then you ain't going to experience much peace. You ain't going to know much joy.
That's it.
And most of the peace you think you're experiencing and most of the joy you think you're experiencing is not going to be of God.
You're right.
That's right. There you go.
And then you will be confused for days or weeks or months on end. Now, seeing this is so. I didn't say this is so. Why?
Yeah.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. Now I would encourage you to look up these words. Righteous heart, righteous soul, righteous faith, a new man created in righteousness and true holiness. Christ made. And there are other places that give us more information about some of these things. But remember, never go beyond thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
But don't be afraid to stand firm, for thus saith the Lord. Now, seeing this is so, believing God concerning his word as to this righteousness, then and then only do we experience peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You see it? And that's not just my summary. I'm going to look how Paul summarizes it. Turn back to Romans now, chapter 14. Romans chapter 15, and listen to these words. Verse 7, wherefore? He's starting to sum this thing up now about meats and drinks and what you wear, although he doesn't mention what you wear, but the days you regard or days you don't regard. All of these things.
Yep.
Wherefore, verse 7 of chapter 15, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God.
Amen.
Did Christ have you get rid of everything first before he received you? That song, Just As I Am, is a good song. I know men abuse the use of it, but it's a good song. Just As I Am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Amen.
Now, look, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and they're still just as valid as they ever were.
Amen.
And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people.
Amen.
You know, that's not hard to do when he's grafted you into them.
That's right. That's exactly.
Now, is it? It's not hard to do when he's grafted you, when he's broken down the middle wall partition between us.
Yes.
Our salvation is a Jewish salvation.
Yes, sir.
Salvation's of the Jews. That's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And God's going to either make you one, you're going to be a part of it, or you'll never have any of it.
That's right.
And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust.
Amen.
Now.
Yes.
Now he's going to get to it. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy. Amen. And he just mentioned that.
Amen.
What the kingdom of God is.
Yes, sir.
With all joy and peace.
Yes, sir.
In believing.
Amen.
Now, what do you believe? You believe in him.
Amen.
You believe in his righteousness.
Yes.
You believe his Son, who is the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. So what comes first? Believing God concerning the record of his Son.
Yes, sir.
Believe what his word says. Then you'll find peace.
Yeah.
And you'll find joy.
That's right.
Now he's starting at the end and working his way back here, Joe.
Yeah.
But do you see the order then?
Yeah.
Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope. Through how? How? Only this. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. In other words, you can't do this yourself.
Exactly.
I can't do this myself. Oh, God, be merciful to me, the sinner.
Amen.
Oh, God, I believe. And I do.
Yeah.
I confess to you. I don't brag about it. I confess it. I believe. But I have to also say, help thou mine unbelief.
Amen.
All things are possible to him that, what?
Yeah.
Believeth. So what's the summary of my message? It's okay to believe God.
Yeah.
You hear what I'm saying? It's okay.
It's okay.
And we don't really think of it. We think, that's, well, I'm supposed to believe God. No, it's okay to just believe God.
Exactly.
Everything else will fall in place.
That's it.
Now, do you hear what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. That's right.
But I need this.
Right.
I need that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything else will fall in its place.
Amen.
If you get that order backwards, turmoil, trouble, pain of heart, mind, and soul is what you're going to experience. And when you do, you realize, I've got something backwards somewhere.
Exactly.
I'm not sitting here pointing at you. I'm talking about me as well. When you do, when you find that turmoil, that pain, that anguish, no peace and no joy in the Holy Ghost, you know why? Because you got something twisted around backwards.
You're right.
You're looking at the wrong thing or the wrong person or something. It's okay. My brothers and sisters,
that's it.
It's okay to just believe God. That's so easy to say.
Exactly.
And yet so impossible to do.
Amen.
That's why it has to be in the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh God, make me believe.
Amen.
Hmm? Hmm? I think that's an honest prayer.
It's a word of God.
Oh God, make me believe. And when he does, all the other stuff.
Yes, sir.
It'll fall in line. Even when you got to lay down and cry at night because of what happened today.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? There'll still be that sense of peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
And there'll be a joy in the Holy Ghost that circumstances and words, it affects me. It hurts me.
Yeah.
I feel the pain of it. And maybe I can't rise above it. It's not the right language, but I can take it from God's hand and say with Job, the Lord gave, the Lord taketh away. But more than that, it's not just a stoicism. Blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, oh God, help us. Help us by your grace. And we trust you will. And we know you will. Amen.
That's good.
That's good.